Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, usairishradio.com, and now, hopefully at least, we can link with Kate Hickey, who is the CEO of Irish Studio in Dublin, Ireland. And first of all, you're very welcome, Kate.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, I can remember distinctly your arrival or your time here in New York when you joined Irish Central as editor, Neil O'Dowd's being the founder. And also, you left us high and dry back in... In 2015, you know, in Mayo we might say, "Did you get killed with the lonesome?" Were you among those who actually knew you were going to go back the day you arrived here?
Yeah, that's a funny question, actually. Thank you so much for having me on. So I did leave New York 7 years ago now, which is shocking, kind of flown, but there's been so much going on in between all of that. But I did come to New York when in 2010, and it was the height of the recession in Ireland. I had worked with Neil before, I suppose, in a way, because I was involved in the Irish lobby for immigration reform when I lived in New York previously in 2004 and 2005, when it was just, I suppose, beginning, and there was, trips down to Washington. I was involved in that, and town hall meetings. So I became, as well, having had a background in journalism, I became a spokesperson for the Irish lobby for immigration reform, and that's how I ended up in Irish Central. So that's the link.
Well, and anyway, before coming here back in 2010, you had indeed in New York, you worked, you know, in various online and print publications for all the newspapers, or most of them, like the Irish Independent, the Irish Times, and New York arts publications, among others. You did come from a journalistic background, and how did you choose that to begin with?
That's a very tough question. I suppose I was probably influenced. My dad was a scriptwriter. My uncle is actually Paddy Agnew. He used to be with the Irish Times, now the Independent. So writing was always around me, and I suppose creativity. So that's my first innings was with an internship in the Irish Times, and then I moved on to New York Arts Magazine down near Canal Street in Manhattan, and that was my first trip to New York. I suppose my first couple of months was working for them, and then I became involved with the Neil O'Dowd companies, and to answer your first question correctly, I suppose the reason I left New York at all was because visa issues, I suppose, and it was just time to go home, and happily I was able to bring Irish Central and the company with me. So now we have offices in both New York and Dublin.
Now, tell us about Irish Studios. You are the CEO of Irish Studios. You're in Dublin, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that encompasses quite a lot, actually, when we take a look at, among other, in addition, of course, to Irish Central, Ireland of the Welcomes, which is now celebrating its platinum anniversary, 70 yeah. solid years. And between that and many other projects, and you are listed among the premier CEOs in Ireland, but I want to ask you specifically about, you know, Ireland of the Welcomes and what I consider to be a very bold move in making, for those who were not around for the decades, making available, is it some or most of the issues of Ireland of the Welcomes?
So, no. I mean, the celebration, I mean, yes, we are making available old archives that I suppose have never been seen before. But it's essentially, we reached this milestone on Ireland of the Welcomes. And our studio is, as you said, contains a lot of entities. So we are Irish Central, Ireland of the Welcomes, Irish Central Box, and Irish Heritage Tree. So there's four little companies within the one roof, I guess. But it was just, you know, 70 years, so 1952 we started, so it seemed like a good time to take stock, look back and celebrate where we've been. But it was also about what little gems we found when we just, I was privileged to go and do some research in the National Library of Dublin, which anyone who comes to Dublin should go and visit. The reading room there is absolutely spectacular. But I was just the gems of the history of Ireland, and looking back over 70 years of the magazine, it really does chronicle the history of tourism in Ireland. So it really does start when post-World War II, I suppose, where air travel was starting to take off, and mm-hmm. that's where Ireland of the Welcomes began.
You know, Kate, I distinctly remember on the airlines, I think probably beginning with Aer Lingus, when you were leaving Ireland, heading for just about anywhere in the world, there was Ireland of the Welcomes, you know, right in front of you. And it was then and has had continuous publication for, that's 6 issues a year, right? And that has never changed over the years.
Yeah, it's actually an incredible history, I suppose, for any company or publication more so, because, you know, how print publications have gone. So if you look back in the history, in 1952, obviously, what was Fógra Fáilte, which became Fáilte Ireland,
mm-hmm.
made a very canny decision that, you know what, you should publish, which was a much smaller publication, but it was literally a manual for people coming to Ireland. Events, what was happening, how do you get around Ireland, how do you get to Ireland? So it was literally a manual on how to travel. The first publication actually had a letter from the Minister for Industry and Commerce, but it also had a letter from Pope Pius the 12th. Mm-hmm. And he was actually talking about the benefits of tourism. So he said, the benefit of tourism is that it refines the senses, enlarges the spirit, and enriches experience. One sees, feels, and observes, which I love. But it's just, it's amazing. Yeah. Move that they made. It's literally a piece of Irish history that it was Fáilte Ireland who were like, do you know what we need to do? We need right. to put our hand out across the water and, you know, bring people to Ireland.
Yeah.
So it's a really big move in that connection, I suppose.
Yeah, and of course, Tourism Ireland's executive vice president here in North America, who also has responsibility for Australia and New Zealand, again, all through the decades, Tourism Ireland, by any other name, has been kind of more of a partner than a sponsor. And I think that that's very significant as well. And like you say, as you have correctly pointed out, that dates back to the very beginning and to the mission of Ireland of the Welcomes. How do you get people to come to Ireland? And that was fairly again, that was a bold step when you think that we are talking about, you know, going back to 1952, but yeah. not only a necessary step, but indeed, that was a jump start, a starting point for, you know, for Ireland in particular, I think. And we did very well with it, particularly in North America.
Yeah, absolutely. So Fall to Ireland, I believe, ran us until the early noughties. And then it was taken over by Harmonia Publications, which then sold on to us. So we've had it since 2018. But it's been lovely to have the ability to look back on the last 70 years to see that, I suppose, progression of Irish tourism, which is now, as we all know, you know, you see the ads in the New York Times, as you said, for the Tourism Ireland double page spread of ads for Ireland, but which happened only in the last 70 years. So it's just such a pleasure to look back over the pages. And as you mentioned at the beginning, so this 70th anniversary edition is the May June edition, which is out now, subscription. But throughout the rest of our publications for this year, we plan on publishing more articles and more little hidden gems that we found in the archives and the national libraries, and even more recent things. So it's great to have that kind of, you know, it's never been seen before because it's only in print, and now we have the capability to bring it a little bit more into digital, using Irish Central, and then to celebrate it in our beautiful magazine that comes out, as you said, bimonthly as well.
Yeah, I think if you look at the history, again, particularly over 70 years, photographs, words, monuments, you know, and indeed historical moments, again, in, you know, covered by Ireland of the Welcomes, that's very refreshing to know, actually, that because it was always a glossy, colorful kind of magazine. And when you talk about some of the painters, for instance, the writers, the poets, all through the years, you know, it's a fascinating history in words and also, of course, in some of the rarest photographs and everything to do with the arts as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of looking at obviously the covers. We were fascinated going back to the covers because, as you said, you know, 1952 photography wasn't quite as, you know, available as it was before it. So looking back through the archives, there's a lot of illustrations and, you know, just gorgeous little old gems that you just don't get anymore because, you know, essentially they cost too much and we all have phones in our pockets. They're our phones. So, you know, illustrations aren't valued as much. So it's just really interesting to look back. And as you said, it's kind of the culture and the arts, and you talked about the artists. Going back to the earliest issue in 1952, there was a three-page spread by a woman called Winifred Letts, who is an early playwright at the Abbey Theatre in Dublin, who is supported by W.B. Yeats and Lady Gregory, and writes about sitting in the Abbey watching W.B. Yeats and Lady Gregory watching her play, you know, in the early 1900s. Like, there's just little nuggets of history that have never been seen before, I suppose. And, you know, Brendan Behan was quite a regular writer, and he has an amazing piece about just that really reads like a play because it's like dialogue, but he's talking about visiting Kerry. And it's really written as you would expect Brendan Behan to write. And then, you know, visually, as you said, John Hind, who I think most people would know for his postcards of Ireland.
And calendars and just about,
exactly.
When we were You know, when we were growing up in Ireland, my God, you know, we didn't know that the beauty of Ireland could be captured and on a postcard, and if it was John Hind, you know, you were getting the best. Incredible stuff.
And so there's an article in one of the issues, which will, you know, they're all of these little gems are in Ireland of the Wealthmonth, but also eventually in the year we published on Irish Central. But, you know, there's an article by John Hind talking about why it is amazing to photograph Ireland and why it is so special. And there is an article by Paul Henry, the amazing artist who captured the famous hills and cottages in Connemara, about why the light in Connemara is so special. So I think, you know, the nuggets of history that have been captured, even, I mean, and that's only in the first couple of years. So I think, you know, we have the archive just sitting there in the National Library. And I think, you know, it's the 70th anniversary, but I think there's such a wealth of amazing little nuggets to tap into.
Yeah. And Kate, of course, Patrick Kavanagh. Again, so as we go through the early years, he wasn't exactly, you know, he didn't, wasn't an overnight success, but you have so much pertaining to Patrick Kavanagh, just as an example. It's really great. Now, two things, please. One is how do we access Ireland of the Welcomes covering the last 7 decades?
So to subscribe to Ireland of the Welcomes, you can visit irelandofthewelcomes.com. And then you can also visit Ireland of the Welcomes content on irishcentral.com by Googling Irish Central and irelandofthewelcomes.com. Or visiting Irish Central. It's in the travel drop down and the shop there.
When you say subscription, is there what is the financial outlay for Ireland of the Welcomes?
So it's $33 for the year right now.
Wow.
So yeah. So that's 6 publications for the year.
Wow. Okay. Look, good luck with everything. There's just one remaining item. I think that a lot of people are only becoming aware of the Irish Heritage Tree program in Ireland, which is wildly successful. But just tell us how that works.
Yeah, so we launched this back in 2020 during the pandemic, and it's actually been going really well, and we're really delighted. Liam Neeson helped us launch it, and we actually planted a grove of trees dedicated to his family first. So there are plantings down in Tipperary, which are now finished, that's near Rock of Cashel, and we're also planting down in near Bandon in Cork. So essentially, a tree can be dedicated to a loved one, if it's a birth or marriage. So the tree, you'll receive a certificate, can be framed or unframed, and essentially it's, you know, to mark your family or an occurrence or any happy event or person you'd like to remember in Ireland.
And you own a lasting piece of Ireland, indeed, which has great appeal as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it is. I suppose, you know, there's many other there's many other programs like this, but I suppose that Irish Central is our audience and our community, I suppose, is such an affinity with Ireland, be it, you know, first generation Irish American or just people who have a grow for Ireland. But there's really been a, you know, visceral reaction to that program for having that connection and, as you said, like a long lasting connection with Ireland.
Kate Hickey, thank you. I would like, well, I was going to wish you more success, but actually if you keep going the way you're going, you don't need that much more. But as CEO of Irish Studio, Irish Central, Ireland of the
World. Thank you so much, Adrian.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and thank you. You are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.